Welcome to the Square Peg Show for May 26, 2014. I'm Mike.
And I'm Jesse.
Today I will review Island of Lemurs, Madagascar in 3D. And we will both review episodes 6 and 7 of Game of Thrones Season 4.
Oh, yeah.
So just a real quick kind of update on what Game of Thrones has been happening lately. This was a skip week with the Memorial Day weekend.
Yep. It made me sad.
Yep. And so, but we are still going to do like a mega Game of Thrones episode after the end of the season. So that'll be fun. But let's go ahead and do the news first. Lately, there have been a lot of changes with Marvel.
Yeah. Everyone's kind of dropping out of everything right now.
Yeah. Now, the biggest one to me was Edgar Wright for Ant-Man. Ant-Man as a concept for a movie wasn't terribly exciting until I heard about Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright on it, yeah.
Yeah, and he is famous for...
The Cornetto trilogy, the what they call the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy, which is Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End, which I just went back and watched again, by the way, and it's fucking amazing.
Plus the Scott Pilgrim movie, which we have reviewed on the podcast before. Yeah, and he has a great, I mean, he's just kind of a unique voice in movies.
I've actually read that that his directing style is almost like a character in and of itself. And I always thought that of, like, the Coen brothers as well. It's like, you know, you can see a Coen movie from a mile away kind of thing, just looking at it. So, yeah, I mean, I was pretty excited about him being on it.
Back when he was still part of Ant-Man, I heard that he and Marvel were kind of negotiating. He wanted to do a lot of kind of world building for the Marvel Cinematic Universe and stuff going back to the 1950s, I heard. Mm-hmm. So just to speculate, I wonder if perhaps he was having trouble playing in the same sandbox as everybody else. I don't know. But anyway, we'll just have to see if they will still have the same actors. I think it was supposed to be Paul Rudd and... Mm-hmm. Couple other people whose names escape me right now.
Which is an odd choice for me, but all right.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I like Paul Rudd, don't get me wrong, but for Ant-Man, I don't really know. But at the same time, I don't really think I have anyone specifically that I would choose for him.
And what was the other big Marvel switch?
Daredevil.
Daredevil. Yeah. Drew Goddard was the person attached to be the showrunner for the Daredevil Netflix TV series. Mm-hmm. He was busy with Sinister Six, which is going to be one of the upcoming Spider-Man movies. Mm-hmm. They have somebody else named Steve DeKnight. I haven't seen Spartacus, but apparently Spartacus is the big thing that he's been doing. People seem to like the Spartacus show.
I've always heard good things. I've never watched it. But still, I mean, what I've always thought about Spartacus, though, is that there's like a lot of kind of dark and grittiness to it, which is exactly what Daredevil needs. If they're going to go into Hell's Kitchen, then that's exactly the kind of style I would like to see for that kind of thing instead of, you know, Ben Affleck's Hell's Kitchen, which was kind of nicely lit.
Yeah, that's true. So they now have a title for the Batman Superman movie. It's called Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice. Okay. So we got Wonder Woman coming in this one. Is that okay? All right. I just wanted to make sure because
and
they just
get it
flip flop.
Prelude to Justice League.
Oh yeah.
Earlier, I was thinking Trial of Justice because Batman v Superman sounds like a lawsuit.
It does.
All right.
I object.
What else has been going on with the news?
I know they. This is kind of bleeds into the controller freaks arena, but the World of Warcraft movie apparently is the filming is wrapped on that, so that's kind of cool. I'm a little torn on this because we've talked about this in past episode that video game movies are never very good at all. I don't even really even know who's attached to it. I'll have to find out. But the point is that we're talking about this overly stylistic medieval magic and monsters kind of a setting, but then we're going to throw that onto live action, and I just can't imagine that it's going to be good. I keep feeling like it's going to have that Hercules Xena feel to it, or the Dungeons & Dragons movie of all things.
As someone who knows next to nothing about World of Warcraft... Mm-hmm. Are there many humans in it, or is it mainly, like, monsters, ogres, and all that?
There are humans in it. There's a Horde and Alliance factions, and the Alliance have humans in it. But what's funny is out of, like, the, you know, 6 or 8 different factions, it's, you know, they're all monsters except for humans of some kind. There's minotaurs, there's zombies, there's these... elf, I mean, which, you know, are pretty much humans. There's these pandas, there's goblins, there's dwarves, there's all these things, which Peter Jackson could do, but, you know, I don't really know how far off we can get with this, but I don't know. All I can do really is have hopes that it's not going to be awful. You know, we got 2 big movies that just came out, which we're going to be taking a look at pretty soon. But we got Godzilla that's come out. We got Days of Future Past that just came out.
So that we'll get to those in due time.
Definitely. And I'll be watching those very, very soon. Hopefully next episode we'll have something for you guys. But
a pretty big trailer came out, too. Interstellar, the Christopher Nolan flick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stars Matthew McConaughey. It's kind of a realistic, if you want to use that word, kind of take on interstellar travel and the great... Beyond the Final Frontier, yeah. Right? When I'm watching the trailer, I'm just reminded how much I like the guy. I love Nolan movies. Yes. I mean, he's one of the best, I think. So.
Absolutely. Actually, another big trailer came out. We got the second trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, right.
And oh my good God. It's like...
This time Rocket and Groot talk.
Yep.
Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, yeah. And I gotta say, dude, it's like every time I see more of this movie, the more excited I get about it. And it's almost like, I mean, because who the hell knows Guardians of the Galaxy? Not very many of the mass populace know who Guardians of the Galaxy is.
A comic book fan, I didn't even know about it.
So it's like, you know, it seems like they are putting everything they can into this movie to really get it to appeal to the masses. And I think it is. I think it's absolutely working.
I think it's going to do really well, and you know, it could bomb, but
it could, but I really, really doubt it. But I don't know. There's something to be said that if someone can go into these unknown storylines and make something absolutely amazing out of it. I mean, if they were this good to begin with, why didn't they do so well as a comic? You know what I mean? It's like you just got to get the right team, I think. And when you get that team to mesh just the right way with actors, producers, directors, writers, you come out with something absolutely amazing. So I'm just so excited.
Well, I think traditionally comic book space stories and movie space stories, you know, there are certain space stories that do really well.
Right.
But if all the action is in outer space, traditionally it doesn't have that as big of a viewership or readership as other stories.
Yeah. You know?
So, but anyway, so before we get to Game of Thrones, I went to the World Golf Village in St. Augustine, that area, the first time going there ever. You've been there before, right?
I have.
I saw a nature documentary. They're very good at doing that. And it was called Island of Lemurs, Madagascar. And it was in IMAX 3D. So just going there with this giant screen where you literally have to like turn your head to see everything that's happening, that was cool. Right. And this nature doc was narrated by Morgan Freeman. And I've never saw March of the Penguins. Didn't he do that one too?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm really getting into this nature stuff.
Dude.
And lemurs as an animal, I knew next to nothing about.
Right.
Those are fascinating.
Yep.
Like there's all these different species and they're endangered on this island. And I don't know. I was all about it.
this is what's interesting. Like in a world today when we have things like Game of Thrones and Star Trek and, you know, big action superhero kind of things, there's a whole other side to me that I'll watch Animal Planet all fucking day. I ain't got no trouble with it, man.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Like I've seen a couple of nature docs at the World Golf Village IMAX, and it was like Flight of the Monarchs or something like that. There was some underwater one. I mean, I watch Blue Planet on Netflix all the time. I don't know if you ever watched that crap.
Nope.
But it's awesome. I love that shit.
Planet Earth was a big thing.
Yep. But yeah, dude. I mean, and then Morgan Freeman on top of that, it just lulls me right to sleep, dude.
He's got the best speaking voice ever.
He does. He really does.
Man.
Now, here's the thing I wanted to mention about IMAX, though. It's like, yeah. I've seen two action movies in IMAX. I think it was Transformers and the first Star Trek movie. I mean, because usually when I walk into a theater, I'll go to, like, one of the big 24-plex or whatever, and I'll try and find, like, the middle seat. Like, that's as best I can get, because I got a good view of everything. I'm in the middle of the surround sound. This is my problem with IMAX, though. The screen is so big, you have to sit all the way in the back of the damn theater to catch everything, because...
Well, me and my kid, we sat in the second row, actually, and I thought it was fine. I know people like to sit way back. Most of the audience was. But the way that the stadium seating is at this particular theater, I thought was great for sitting anywhere.
Now, for something like a nature documentary?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
For a high-action movie like Star Trek? Not so much, man, because you can't really fit it all in.
Yeah, like I said, you have to turn your head, which is kind of a strange experience when you watch a movie.
It is. And, I mean, you know, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I went through it, and it was fine, but I feel like I just missed so much. Now, when they first had the big screens and I went to the first Orange Park, I think it was in Orange Park, you know, I watched Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which, by the way, is subtitled, which, by the way, I got there late, so I had to sit in the front. So I had to, like, it was like a tennis match. I had to, like, turn my head, read everything, and then try and catch what was happening on screen. So, you know, I don't really understand how they think that those closed seats are... viable. I don't know. But anyway, I love the nature documentary. If I can watch it on a ginormous screen, why the hell not?
Okay. This will be some random thoughts about Game of Thrones Season 4, Episodes 6 and 7, the last two that came out, leading into the final three. The biggest stuff, Tyrion.
Yep. Dude, one of the best monologues I've seen in the show so far. On trial. Freaking out at the end of it. Oh my God. And like, my wife was saying, you know, do you think he'll actually take the black? Because that was Tywin's whole plan, was to, you know, we'll find him guilty, he'll beg for mercy, I'll let him take the black. I said, there's no way Tyrion will go that way. There's no way in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had his life all wrapped up nicely in a bow, but threw that crap away. Trial by combat, baby.
We've talked before about how Littlefinger and Tywin Lannister are both master manipulators.
Yes.
So you saw how Tywin was basically doing also Jaime would do what he wanted and get, you know, marry who he wanted, go to where he wanted, and it was a twofer because he was trying to get Tyrion out of the way too. Meanwhile, Littlefinger, at the very end of episode 7, you saw the big plan.
I saw it coming, but it was just too late. It was, I mean, the whole thing with him and Lysa, I mean, it was crazy anyway, but then as soon as I saw her start tripping, freaking out.
Right beside what's it called?
The moon door.
There you go.
As soon as I saw that happen, the first thing that jumped in my head was, Littlefinger doesn't need her anymore. He's already married to her. He's already consummated. That's his. The veil is now his. He's going to chunk that bitch out the window. Oh my God, it was so awesome. Oh.
The show is so quotable. This goes back to, I think, episode 5. Only talking about it makes it real.
Yes.
When he was talking about the Jon Arryn.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of good lines between Tyrion and Jaime, Tyrion and Bronn.
Mm-hmm.
And I the show is very quotable. It's very good. They also emphasize some subplots we hadn't seen in a while, particularly Theon Greyjoy and his sister, whose name I always forget, they finally came to a head, and you realize that Theon is so damaged.
He's so gone, yeah.
That was very interesting to me. And I really like seeing Stannis and Davos talk at the Iron Bank.
Mm-hmm. The Iron Bank of Braavos.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So the guy that played that is the guy from Sherlock. It was cool to see him again. And that was very interesting. Oftentimes, you know, people. I remember when Daenerys went to Karth or wherever that one, you know, the vault of gold was empty.
Yep.
Tywin talked recently about how basically they're
broke,
in debt.
Yeah.
So the role of money and gold and how that plays in it seems to be leading up to something big.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other big thing, no pun intended, is the mountain. We finally got the mountain in this season. I knew we had to go in eventually because before the season started, there was a news blurb about how they got a new actor to play him. So he obviously had to be in there at some point.
So we've had two actors recast, Dario and the mountain.
Mm-hmm. And so now we got Oberyn, the Prince of Dorne.
Mm-hmm. That was an awesome monologue when he was talking about when Tyrion was just a baby and everything.
And then
he would be the champion.
Yep. And he'll be fighting for Tyrion, and then we have the Mountain fighting for the royal or for the crown. And God dang, that dude is huge. He's just like chopping people in half.
Yeah. What did Bronn say? I could dance around a bit, but maybe wait for him to get tired.
Yeah.
But. And what I liked about that scene was that Tyrion could totally respect what Bronn was saying.
Oh, yeah.
It was the practical thing to do.
Absolutely. You know, so. He's, you know, I probably could, but I maybe wouldn't, so...
Not only that, but in terms of their friendship. Yeah. Like, why should I risk my life again? Yeah. I'm already kind of set up.
Yep.
You know, he's...
He's a sellsword. Like, it all comes down to money. And, you know, I think Tyrion can absolutely understand that because, you know, he runs around, spends money like crazy, and I think he starts to get kind of inside Bronn's head.
One more really great monologue I liked was the Hound talking about the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And how he just couldn't believe his own brother would burn him and betray him like that. So really great speechifying going on in these last couple episodes.
And just something that, just on a quick side note, but I just watched Hot Fuzz the other day, and the trolley boy Michael, the really big tall guy with a bald head, all I could say was Yarp. Remember? Do you remember him at all? The same actor who plays the Hound.
What?
Yep. I saw it and I was like, holy crap, I totally forgot about that.
Wow.
So every time I see it now, it's like, because the actor, he has a very specific, like, lower half of his face, like his mouth specifically. And they got these big goofy teeth in him for Hot Fuzz, but you could just tell. And it's so hilarious to see him play this role.
Yeah.
And then...
That we identify so much with.
Yeah, and then for him to say the word cunt to you're a young girl.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what I mean? In Game of Thrones. And it's, oh my God, dude. It kills me every time I see it.
Okay, so those are a few random thoughts about the last two episodes. Just to reiterate, we will talk about Game of Thrones at the end of the season.
Yep.
And that's the podcast. Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find us. Have a good one.
Bye, guys. Hey guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.